Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to the Joy of the Lord. I'm a few seconds early beginning this evening, but we're going to start with prayer, and we'll get going about pretty close to the right time, so we'll be fine. We're actually going to begin this evening with back where we were last week. We're going to start back up in verse 12 of Matthew 24. Verse 12 of Matthew 24. So, if you were here last week, you're familiar with where we are. And if you weren't here last week, you may want to go back and listen to last week's programming to just to sort of catch up. All right. If not, you can just continue here and go back if you'd like to and listen to the other ones later. Oops. Excuse me. I'm having just a little bit of issue here technically. Okay, there we go. All right. Father, we are, again, thankful for your word this week, that we don't have to try to figure anything out for ourselves about you, because you tell us all about you in Scripture. We have this wonderful, wonderful word of yours, which we call the Holy Bible, which gives us everything definitive that we need to go to. If anyone tries to give us answers from you and they are not in line with Scripture, we know that that information is wrong. And therefore, Lord God, we are so thankful that we have this to back up anything that we say, anything that we hear, anything that we read, and that the Holy Spirit we have as our teacher. And we just praise you and thank you and ask that your will alone be shown here in the next 90 minutes. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen. All right. So we're going directly to Matthew 24. And I'm going to, and I'm going to begin in verse 12. Matthew 24, verse 12. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Boy, what an appropriate verse to begin this week. Don't we just see this everywhere? I mean everywhere. We have become, the United States has become the very picture of lawlessness, haven't we? I mean, they say because lawlessness will abound. Now, let's just take a look at that verse for a moment, because it almost seems, hold on, let me open this back up here again. It says, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Now, it almost seems like it should be the other way, doesn't it? It almost seems like it should be, because the love of many will grow cold, lawlessness will abound. But it says here, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But it's sort of the opposite that's happening, isn't it? I mean, the country has just kind of let everything go to pot, right? I mean, everything's kind of falling apart. Nobody seems to really care. And it's not just the world, as we would like to make everyone think. No, I mean, Christians don't, the church, I hate to just say Christians, the church in general, and Christians as a, You know, the term Christian, let's just talk about that a moment. The term Christian has become a very generic term, hasn't it? It has come to mean anyone who goes to church. Anyone who walks in to a church building any day of the week. No, let me change that. Any day of the year, right? Or anyone who got wet when they were a baby, or anyone whose parent told them, by the way, you are a Lutheran, you are a Catholic, you are whatever, a Methodist, right? I mean, because I know people who haven't opened a Bible. I mean, whether or not you go to a church, whether or not you have Christian parents, whether or not you were baptized, I mean, those things aren't really what makes you a Christian. You know, I don't care if you haven't seen the inside of a church in 30 years. But do you have a Bible? Do you read it? Do you have a relationship with Christ? Do you pray? You don't get to just call yourself a Christian because, you know, your mom and dad, you know, were raised in a particular denomination up until age 13 or whatever. And so their parents told them they were Christians. And so, you know, they say to you, well, you know, our family has always been Lutheran, so you're Lutheran. It's not a Christian. I mean, and I say this because I know people like this. I have family members who, two people who got married, her parents were Jewish. His parents were Catholic. She hadn't been to temple, I can't even tell you. I don't think ever, because her parents were Jewish and something else. I don't know. I think Jewish and Lutheran. I think her mom was Jewish and her dad was Lutheran, but I'm not 100%. Okay? So she may have never been in a temple. I don't know. He was raised Catholic, kind of, sort of. They went to Catholic school growing up. I'm not really sure about church. Maybe a little bit. Occasionally. I know their father, their mom was Catholic. Their dad was nothing. I mean, said he was Lutheran, but never, ever went. And so the kids, I may have gone to church a few times. My point here is this. This family, this couple, said that they were Jewish/Christian. They were, and the truth is they were neither one. They said they were both, but they were neither. And their entire, once they were married, I mean, I think they were married in, I want to say, honestly, I'm not sure. I don't even remember their wedding, even though I was there. And so they got married and never walked across the threshold of a church or temple again, ever in their life. Now, she passed away about a year ago. He's still living. His children have never, as far as I know, ever been in a church. They are extreme atheists. But see, and so we blame society. We blame Hollywood. We blame politicians. We blame all these people when we're not raising a Christian country. We're not. You can't say you're a Christian if you don't believe in Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can't say you're a Jew if you don't practice Judaism. I mean, we're a mess, and it's our fault. It's our fault. And so they say, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Society is sick of us. They are. They look at Christians and they say, I mean, and I see it every day on social media. I saw it today, you know, people making comments about divorced Christians. They don't notice. Now, I don't know about this particular Christian that they were making comments about. I don't know her background. I don't know what church she goes to. I don't know if she's Catholic, Lutheran, Baptist, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because you see, we aren't following, and I say we as in every person that calls themselves a Christian, we aren't following Christ. Some of us may be. Some of us may not be. Most are not. We're a disgrace to the name of Christ. We're a disgrace. And they know it. They look at us and they say, why would I want what you have? We're supposed to be salt and light, and instead, I mean, we're hot peppers in darkness. You know, we make them go, ugh. You know, they're walking around blindfolded. They can't see anything. They're in darkness, not just because they don't have Christ, but because we're not shining a light out there to them. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Yes, the love of many has grown cold. We're in complete lawlessness in this country. The love has grown cold. The love of Christians has grown cold. We have grown cold. We are walking away from Christ. And therefore, society around us has also grown cold towards us. I don't blame them. Everything, the whole country is growing cold and lawless and then cold and more lawlessness and cold. There's only one way to change this. But it may be too late. And if it is, we are going to continue into verse 13. You see, we may already be in Matthew 24 to the point where we're at the point of no return. Now, can I say this for sure? I can't. You know, Christ told us that even he didn't know when he was here on earth in body, even he didn't know when that time was. I'm saying I can't know the exact day and time. There have been people who have said, oh yes, we know the day. We know the time. It's going to be such and such a day. We figured it out according to Nostradamus prophecies and sitting down and figuring out what the Bible says about this, that, and when Israel became a nation and got it. No, you don't. Stop it. Anybody who says they know exactly when he's coming back or exactly who it is a liar. I have very rarely do I say anything that absolute that isn't, I guess that is scripture. I'm going to say yes. That's not an opinion. That's definite because Christ says no one knows except for the Father. So that's definite as well. They're a liar. They are a liar. If somebody is telling you that they know who the Antichrist is at this point, okay, because he's not yet announced, no one has said, you know, here's this world leader or whatever, they're a liar. No one knows as of yet. But it will, he will be shown, all right? Let's go further here. Where's my, excuse me, I'm looking for my notebook. All right, so let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Some of you who have read up a little bit on end times may be familiar with 2 Thessalonians and expect that we'll spend a little bit of time there, and some may not. You know, it doesn't matter if you do, it doesn't matter if you don't. That's where we're going. Okay, so we're going to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. Are we not seeing that? I mean, I think we're seeing it in spades. People are falling away from the church in large numbers. And when I say falling away from the church, I don't mean just the local churches, although that's certainly true as well. Look up, because I'm not going to go to it right now, but look up if you will, if you really want to know if people are, how many churches have closed since the beginning of 2020? I mean, you know, the government said, close your churches because of COVID. And so what did many of the pastors do? Yes, sir, three bags full. We will comply. We will obey God first. I mean, we will obey government first. Wait, is that the way it's supposed to be? Are we supposed to obey government before God? I don't think so. I mean, pretty sure that's not it. Let's go to Acts. Let's go to Acts. Chapter 5, I think. And verse, yes. All right. Chapter 5, verse 29. Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. God rather than man. Now, this does not mean that you get to go around just disobeying all government laws. It means when government laws contradict God's laws. Let's give an example, shall we? How about abortion? If the government told you that you had to abort your child, you cannot, or anyone else for that matter, you can't obey that law. You can't obey that law. That is against God. Now, let's take the major one, because if we are here during tribulation, during the great tribulation, we're all here during tribulation. Don't get it confused. There is constant tribulation. But if we are here during the great tribulation, you will be asked, told. I shouldn't say asked. You will be told to completely give up God. You'll be told to deny him, to deny Christ. You better obey God rather than man. That will 99.9% cost you your life. There is very little chance that you will live after refusing to deny Christ at that point. So, can you do that? That's going to be difficult. It's going to be almost impossible because, I mean, you could be tortured. You can be starved to death. You could watch family members die before you, right in front of you, and be told, listen, I am just telling you, this is what can happen to you because I'm not trying to fearmonger here. I'm trying to prepare you. I'm trying to prepare you because you must be prepared in case. You must be prepared. You must have your eyes completely set on Christ, because if you do not, then you are going to be in Matthew 24 where your love will grow cold. You'll be in Matthew 24:11 where these false prophets will rise up and deceive you. You'll be in Matthew 24:10 where you will be offended, you'll betray each other, and hate each other. This is where you will be if you are not prepared. This is why it's important to completely understand what's coming. I have seen pastors say, well, you know what? I'm not really sure if the rapture is before, mid, or after. And it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. Just know that you're just watching for the Lord. I happen to disagree with this. I think it's very important to read scripture, especially Matthew 24, and see the process here. See exactly when each thing is happening. I don't believe that there's any, I don't think there was any, I don't think that this was put in here by accident. Let's put it that way. Christ put Matthew 24 in there, and this is also written in Mark and Luke, by the way, specifically so we would know the order in which things happen. So we would be like, wait, we're gonna be here for this, and we need to be prepared. Because if all of a sudden all this stuff starts happening, taking the mark, and great persecution worldwide, and all this stuff, and you have been listening to pastors and reading books written by pastors who are all telling you, don't worry, you're not going to be here for this. It's not a problem. Would God really make you go through that? Let me tell you, that's what I heard for years. God's not going to make you go through that. He's a good, good God. He loves you. Yes, he is a good God. Yes, he does love you. But that doesn't mean we don't go through persecution and tribulations and problems. Scripture tells us all about it. And if you are not ready for it, and they come to your door, banging your door down, and here you stand, you and your wife and your three little children, you and your husband and your little children, whatever your situation is, you retired like I am, home all by myself, and they bang my door down and put a gun to my head, put a gun to your head, put a gun to your child's head, and you're not prepared. How will you handle it? The shock, the panic, when you are not prayed up, read up, you don't have everything that you need, Ephesians 6:12, ready. This is why. This is why the next series, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I know this is why the next series that he's going to be doing, and it's going to be a long series, people, not because I'm going to sit here and go, okay, we're just going to take, you know, 2 hours to go through one verse. Oh, no, because spiritual warfare is a big thing. And it's going to take a little while to go through it. Just a little bit that I've been doing so far, there's so much. And you need to be prepared. You need to prepare yourself, your family, your children, everyone you can. Because it is not going to be easy. What you might say, what if it's not within the next few years? What if it doesn't even happen while I'm alive? Okay. Anything wrong with praying? Anything wrong with reading the Bible a little extra? Anything wrong with preparing your children who it might happen in their lifetime or the lifetime of their children? We need to be prepared no matter when it is. I'm not saying it's going to be in the next 5 years. I have no idea. I'm not saying it's going to be in the next 10. I'm saying be prepared. Because if you're not, and it happens, you may succumb. You may succumb. 2 Thessalonians 2:3, let no one deceive you by any means. For that day, the day mentioned in verse 1, let me read verse 1 real quick. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him. That's what this is talking about. Our gathering together to him. What's that? That's the rapture. That's him taking us up to him. Okay? So, that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, which we are seeing, and the second thing, the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. So that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, goes on further, and it talks about how we will be here through this and everything, but I want you to realize we're going to be here. Are going to be here. All right. And we'll come back to more of that for 2 Thessalonians. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Oops, I just lost my spot. Oh, that's all right. Find it quick enough. All right, so 2 Timothy. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to go to, I'm sorry, 2 Peter. My mistake. And we're going to go to chapter 2, verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Swift destruction. This is in the end. This is especially at the very end that he's talking about here. These things are going to happen. He says, and many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth, that's Christ, will be blasphemed. We are in trouble, people, if we are not ready. We're in trouble if we aren't ready. And I'm only just breezing over that little spot right there because we went through 2 Peter chapter 2 quite a bit last week, all right? I'm just kind of refreshing here as to where we are. All right. And so then 2 Peter 3, verse 17, you therefore, beloved, since you know these things beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. He's telling us these things ahead of time. Why? Because he wants us to be ready. He's telling us, be prepared. Be prepared. He's not talking to non-believers. He's talking to believers here. We don't tell non-believers to be prepared for the return of Christ. They don't even know what we're talking about. I shouldn't say that. Some of them do know, right? They've heard these things. They're aware of it, but they don't care. They don't care. They kind of say, okay, right. Yeah, we've heard this all before. You've been talking about it for years. This is never going to happen. This is what they say to us, right? Yeah? You've heard that before. Sure, he's coming. Yes. All right. They don't believe us. Believe me. When he comes, they're going to see it, and they still won't believe it. Most people, even when they see him coming, won't believe it. Okay. All right. Now, verse 13. Remember, we just talked about how, yeah, you know, this Antichrist, when he comes, we can even be turned, right? What does the next verse say? Verse 13. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Whoops. He who endures to the end. What does that mean? What do you mean he who endures to the end? I thought once you were saved, you were always saved. Nothing could take you away. Yeah, nothing can take you away except yourself. You have the ability to turn away from Christ. Now, Satan can't take you away from him. God won't turn away from you. No one can take your salvation away from you. No one. But you can make a decision. Remember, you have free will. You have the ability to say, I don't believe anymore. I cannot tell you how many people I have met who have said to me, I've met a few people in person that have admitted it, but I've talked to a lot of people online. You know, once social media became like a real thing, right? All of a sudden the world opened up, didn't it? Remember, you know, that Christ said, you know, that the gospel will go out to the whole world. You realize that that's actually a thing now. Everybody can get the gospel now. All you got to do is have a phone, an iPad, a tablet, access to a computer, anything. I mean, even homeless people have phones now. Almost everybody can go into a library and check out a Bible. I mean, the gospel is available to everyone. There's a bit of scripture coming true. In it? Matthew 10:22. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. This is also part of like Matthew 24. Refers to some more of the things that Matthew 4 says here in Matthew 10. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. He who endures to the end. Will you endure to the end? Or when they face you with, A hangman's noose? A guillotine? A gun? Whatever it is they have that terrifies you the most, what will it do to you? What will it stop you? Will it turn you away? Will you say, okay, will they torture you bad enough that you give up? I mean, we have to realize that we just don't know, do we? When it comes right down to it, is our faith strong enough? Is it? We have to be so firmly grounded in our faith that the only thing we want is him no matter what, 24 hours a day. If we can get to that point, we just might make it to the end. I don't know many people like that. I might know one. I think I might know one. And that person thinks very little of himself. I may know a few more. It's just that I don't get to talk in depth with very many people. It's very difficult. And, you know, it's when we lower ourselves enough to become servants, right, that we truly get the strength to be able to make it through to the end. That's who this person is that I know, that I believe will make it to the end. And just for that reason, because that's how he sees Christ, you know? But, you know, it isn't going to be easy for any of us. And that's what we have to prepare for the realization that this idea that we've been given that this once saved, always saved, there's no way we could walk away. There's nothing that could touch our faith. We have to get that out of our head and be aware of that we may have a fight on our hands and realize that every single thing we do in our lives has to be us turning to Christ in everything. That's why when I talk about James 1, 2 through 4, I'm not just trying to say, oh, you know, make sure you're counting it all joy because I'm trying to say you're a bad person if you don't. No, it's because I'm trying to point you to something. I'm trying to get you to say, this is what you need to do so that when you get to those points where you're falling so hard, you can say, okay, I get it. I realize that the enemy is attacking me horribly, but God is going to take this and he's going to use it and he's going to make it into something better, no matter what it is. No matter what it is, even if you are at the end and there's that you've got 6, 10, 12 militia, whatever you want to call those people at your door, military people, cops, whatever, and they're all threatening you and your family, that you can then look at them with your arms around your family and say, go ahead. What you mean for evil, God means for good. Because the very second that that last breath leaves each and every one of you, I mean, you're going to go meet God, right? Breath leaves your body, and you get to meet God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So, okay. And might it be difficult? Sure, of course might it be. Of course it would be difficult to see a 3 and a 5 and a 9-year-old child, and you've got your arms wrapped around them. Maybe you're the father, and your wife is crying next to you, and you've got your arms around all these people. Is that going to be easy? No. Prepare for it now. Prepare for it now. You, husband, you need to be prayed up even more than the rest of your family, because you are the protector over your family. I had a conversation with someone over the last week, and this came up. And there may be, if you are the father or if you're the wife, whichever, it doesn't matter, but know your role. Husbands, know that it is important for you even more than ever to take on that headship and let your wife, let your children realize you are the protector. You are the head of the home. Get into a regular Bible study with them, even if it's only 15 minutes a day that you are leading them in scripture and in prayer, so they understand who you are in Christ. This is important. They need to realize you are leading their home and you're going to protect them no matter what. You are the protector of your home. Allow your family to feel protected. Wives, support your husband in that role. This doesn't mean that you're subservient, like some, this is what I, you know, ran into, but you're not subservient like some little dormouse. You're not a doormat. It means that you do feel protected. You allow him to actually sort of put you on a little pedestal, right? It doesn't mean you're an idol, but that he's saying, yes, I love you. I cherish you. And the same with your children. He wants to protect you. This should be something that makes you realize that he's taking away from you the responsibility of making all those decisions, and saying, let me help you. It's funny because, you know, my kids, I remember growing up when they had a particularly difficult issue with a friend, you know, a friend would say, let's go here, let's go do this and or do that. And my kids knew it was something they're not supposed to do. They could just say, my mom won't let me. My granddaughter has the same issue. Sorry, mom won't let me. You know, even as wives, you know, my husband doesn't really like me to do that. Perfect. You know, husbands can actually do the same thing. You know, my wife and I have actually kind of agreed. I don't go out to the bars. You don't have to, you know, I don't go here, there, or whatever. I just don't do it. It's a family thing. It's what we've decided. And it's, you know, that's what it is. When you're united together, then you have that to back each other up, right? So, perfect. You're there for each other. And the same thing, once you are on one united front, when you're on one united front and you know that you have a main protector in the home, you know, they come through that door or whatever happens, anything happens, your children, your wife, they know that they have you. Yeah? Let's go to, oh, I was there and I just closed it up. Let's go to Colossians. Accidentally just lost it. Colossians 1, and we're going to go to verse 22. In the body, I'm going to start in verse 21, actually. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable in his sight. Okay, that pretty much explains what happens when you're saved, right? Except for, now we're going to go on to verse 23. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Did that just say that? Let me read that again. So verse 21 and 22 says we're saved. And he's going to present us holy and blameless. But 23, how many pastors and churches preach verse 23? If indeed you continue in the faith. So this says, I have to keep believing. I can't walk away from Christ. If you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and you're not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Well, that's a little contrary to what I heard in most of the churches I went to before. What about you? Have you heard that before? That's a little interesting, isn't it? Let's see what else Scripture has to say. Shall we? Let's go to Galatians 5. Galatians 5, and we're going to go to verses 1 through 4. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Now, in verse 1, he says that we've been made free in Christ. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. So he's saying if you go back to the law. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. So once you go back and decide that you're going to start keeping one law, then you got to keep them all. Verse 4, pay attention. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, listen to the last five words, you have fallen from grace. Fallen from grace, is that possible? Can that happen? According to Scripture, it can. Why? Because you're trying to save yourself by the law. You're trying to do things your way instead of God's way. You can't do it that way. You have to follow God and do everything his way. What's his way? Faith in Christ. Remember, they said don't do things according to the law. Do things according to Christ. Verse 5, for we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. by faith. It's all by faith, not by works. All right? Let's see. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And we're going to go to verses 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand. So, again, we're talking to Christians who are presently saved, by which also you are saved. Verse 2, talking to saved people. Here's the rest of verse 2. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. If you hold fast, you can't walk away from him because you're walking away from your salvation. You're walking away from your salvation. You're walking away from God. You actually have the ability to walk away from God. You know, I have a lot of scripture on this. I could speak on this. I could probably do an entire lesson on the ability to walk away from God. In fact, I actually have one that I will do sometime. I want you just to realize, though, that yes, we must stay faithful to the end, all the way to the very end. That last breath you take, don't allow Satan to look you in your eye and say, are you sure you believe? Are you sure? The last thought in your mind after you blow out that last breath of air. Our brain still works for a minute or two after we stop breathing. They can see our brain function still for a moment or for a minute or so after we stop breathing. Don't give up on Christ. Don't give up. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, and I'm going to go to chapter 11. Oops. I just skipped 2 Corinthians altogether. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, listen, remember, he's saying you're betrothed to Christ. You are already saved. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. See, remember, Eve was a believer. She was a believer. She knew God. She walked in the garden with him. She knew God. And he's saying, just as Eve was deceived by Satan, so might we be also. Oh. See? Because he's talking to saved people. He says, you've been betrothed to Christ. But in verse 4, it says, for if he who comes preaching another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. You may well put up with it. A different spirit. Another Jesus. Who is a different spirit. Who is another Jesus? Well, that's pretty interesting, isn't it? How could we have a different spirit or another Jesus? Well, you know, it's really interesting that this actually came up in this particular lesson, because remember I told you we're going to go into spiritual warfare after this, right? Well, because, you know, Jesus, that translation, is not his name per se, okay? And I had someone, you know, on, I don't know, a social media account make a big deal out of this to me. And so, and we could make it a big deal, okay? We could. We don't have to. The important thing is this. Is your Savior the Christ? Is he the Messiah? Is he the Son of God? That is what is the important thing. See, if you are worshiping some sort of, if you're part, okay, I'm just going to put this one right out there. If you're part of this Jesus only thing, this Jesus only movement, that is incorrect. Because there isn't a Jesus only. We have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Son is the Messiah. He is the Christ. If you know him only as Jesus, if you don't understand he is Jesus, the Christ, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, Yeshua, I'm not saying you have to use the word Yeshua, so don't get hung up on that, okay? There's nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it. You can call him Yahweh. You can call him Yeshua. They're all one, right? And at the same time, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We'll get into that sometime. But I'm just saying, Yeshua is more correctly interpreted as Joshua, if we're to really correctly interpret it from into the English, okay? But it was interpreted into the Latin, you know, and all that kind of thing when they first interpreted the Bible. And so there's nothing really wrong with Jesus, Jesus Christ. We do have, you know, Hispanics that use that name, Jesus, right? Which is the same as Jesus, right? It's important. And I've seen English names also. I have no doubt that there are demons that call themselves by the name of Jesus. Why? Because Satan is an imposter. He's a liar and he's a deceiver. And there have been many false Christs. And there will be many more. We must be very careful. I've said this once before, maybe a couple weeks ago. We must be very, very careful that the one we are worshiping is the Son of God. And we know this if, when we were saved, born again, right? If this happened because of Scripture, we must be saved according to Scripture, not according to some sort of emotional, not that salvation can't be emotional, okay? But it's not just some emotional, oh, Lord, save me, because Satan often calls himself Lord, okay? He likes to call himself the Lord of the earth, the prince of the power of the air, right? We must be very careful about what we get into. Make sure that who you are worshiping is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. I know. I understand. Oh, you know, I only worship Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Well, okay, then. I'm just saying, get into your Bible, crack it open, and make sure this is your very soul that we're talking about here. This is eternity. Be stubborn if you want to. We're talking about eternity here. If you really believe that you love God, and there's even the tiniest, littlest inkling of doubt about when you were saved, when you accepted Christ, whatever the situation was, if you have any doubt whatsoever, it would take you, what, 2 minutes, 5 minutes to spend some time with God and say, Lord, I'm not 100% sure, but I want you to show me and go to Scripture and repent of just everything in the past and say, Lord, you know, just show me. And help me to just pray and believe on Christ, the Messiah, as my Lord and my Savior, understanding that he was the ultimate sacrifice for my sin. He shed his blood on the cross so I can live forever, because that's the only way, is through his sacrifice. Because I am not able, not capable in my own self to be good enough for God's heaven. I am a sinner. It's impossible for me to do anything at all in my own flesh to please God. Impossible. Impossible. I need the Holy Spirit working through me. That's what I need. And you may have, see, you know, he talks about, make sure it's not another spirit, right? Just because you think you've got a spirit working in you, helping you, doesn't mean it's the Holy Spirit. Satan is a deceiver. He likes to make you feel good, doesn't he? He can make you feel pretty good for now. But how often are you in Hebrews 12? I'm just asking a question. I'm not pointing my finger at anybody. But just remember, Hebrews 12:8 says, if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate, not sons. We are all chastened if we are born again. All of us. Continually, and that doesn't mean that, it doesn't mean 365 days a year, 24/7, that's not what it means. But it means we will be chastened, and we may get a little time to, you know, rest up, but then we're going to be chastened again and again and again. Because we're never going to be perfect, ever. It's not going to happen. So, keep yourself in the Lord. Do not turn away. Keep your eyes upon Christ. And rejoice when you're chastened. Because that means you're in him. You know him. He loves you. And knows what it takes to keep you coming towards him. If you have the most blessed life of anyone you know, got money coming in left and right. Everything's going perfect for you. It's all sunshine and roses. Every morning when you wake up, it's just like la, 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 la. Everything's perfect. You might want to question your own salvation. You might want to go to the Lord right this moment. Hit pause. Hit pause. And go pray. Go to your Bible. And ask God to show you. If it's been a year or more, especially since you've been chastened, since you've gone through any problems, I would be on my knees right now. It shouldn't be that good. I'm sorry. It just shouldn't. You should be suffering persecution for the Lord, or you're not working for him. You're not in ministry. You're not using your spiritual gifts. Just not likely. People should be bugged by you. They should be annoyed by you. And I don't mean by the way you act in general. I mean by the fact that you're preaching Christ. Christ said, they hate me. They're going to hate you. Right? If they are not hating you, then doesn't mean everyone is going to hate you. But if they are liking you, then, you know, if everybody just thinks that you're, like I said, sunshine and roses, there's a reason. You know, I got to tell you something. The most loved pastors I know are not Christians. They're fake. They're fake. The Christians that I know that are criticized the most are the ones who are working the most for God. The ones who are out there preaching salvation, preaching the gospel. Those are the ones that, for the most part, there are a few of them out there who really deserve the hate. I mean, it's not because of Christ. There are a few. But for the most part, the ones that are hated the most are the ones that preach the Lord the most. Just saying. What are you doing? Don't call me up and tell me how dare you criticize me. I don't even know who you are. I don't even know who you are. Because if you do, I mean, you can if you want to. But if you call me up and criticize me saying, well, I have a wonderful life and, you know, how dare you say that I shouldn't, blah, blah, I'll tell you, I'll go to scripture and tell you why. I mean, you can call me if you want to. I'll pull it up in scripture. So, you know, happy to do so. All right, let's go to Romans. I don't know if you can hear my cat, but he's trying to get into a cat food bag. So I'm not torturing my cat. I'm not refusing him anything. He just thinks he ought to eat when I'm doing my program. All right, Romans 11, and we're going to end verse 8. We're going to read a little bit here. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. You see, he's talking about the Jews here. All right? At this point. So they fell, and he's talking about the Jews, and because it says through their fall to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Okay? The Gentiles are the ones that ended up getting saved. Now, if their fall is riches for the world, okay, everybody else is saying, oh, they didn't even... Look at what they did to Christ, and, you know, and we're seeing it. How can they not see it, right? if their fall is riches for the world and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. If by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and save some of them. In other words, he's saying, look, even though I'm preaching to the Gentiles, I'm really praying that those who are also who are Jews, who are not yet saved, may look and say, well, I want what they have too. I may have been part of this group that crucified Christ, but I'm seeing what they have, and I want it. And this is what's even happening with some of the Jews now, right? Still, to this day, you have born-again Jews. They say, well, yeah, we see that. We see the truth, and we want that as well. For if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. We're going to get back to where we were before in this, but just keep up. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. In other words, we are not supposed to make comments about the Jews not being saved. Remember, they were the original saved, right? They were the original elect. They were the original born again, if you will. Okay? They were the original believers in Christ, even though many people say, oh, they didn't believe in Christ back in the day. Yeah, they did. The Old Testament believed in Christ. They looked forward to Christ's coming. We look backward to him having been here. Another whole lesson. I go too far off and I'm going to be completely out of Matthew. Although we are a little bit, but it's just part of it. Okay. So do not boast against the branches, but if you boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. Who's the root? Christ is the root, right? You don't support him. He supports you. We are not the power, okay? Christ is the power in us. Everything that we do comes from him. We are nothing without him. This is the whole point here. We are nothing without Christ. And if we go around proclaiming our Christianity and boasting about it and saying, oh, look at us. Isn't this what we do? Oh, look how wonderful we are. And we prance around in front of all of the lost and talk about all the good things we do and blah, 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 blah. This is exactly what he's saying we are not supposed to do. We are nothing without him. And this is exactly what the Jews, the Pharisees, all these people did who crucified Christ. How dare we? Boy, what am I going to make it through? Two verses today? You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, la-dee-da. Good for you. So in other words, well, he took the Jews out of the way so I could be saved. Whoop-dee-doo. He says, well said, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. You think you're once saved, always saved? You better get in Scripture. What is he saying? He said, the Jews weren't once saved, always saved. neither are you. Don't be haughty. Don't think you're so great. He didn't spare Israel because they thought they had it all figured out. He may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and the severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but towards you, goodness. If, here it is again, here's that great big if. Give, circle it in red, purple, green, or whatever in Scripture. That if is important. It's in all those verses we've read so far. If you continue in his goodness, not in your goodness, not in your goodness. If you continue in his goodness, how do you continue in his goodness? You continue in belief. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. Have I hurt anybody yet? Have I injured anybody's feelings? Have I offended you? Well, if you're the left, if you're a leftist, you probably hung up on me by now. If you're not, then keep listening because I'm reading Scripture. I'm not giving you my opinion. I'm reading the Word of God. Don't give up on it. It's God's Word. Don't turn away and go back to tradition. Don't go back to a pastor or your church, whatever your church wrote or whatever, and say, but this is what this says. No. Go to the Word. Don't even listen and say, well, she said it, me. Don't say, well, you know, Raven said this, so it must be true. Mm-mm. God said it, so it must be true. God said it. I have a whole lot more verses. You can actually, if you want, I'm going to give you this. If you want more verses, because I'm going to do a whole lesson on this at another time. Not right now. But I can give you a lot of verses that will back this up more. And I really do this, R-A-V-E-N, Bushman. B, U, S as in Sam, C as in Charles, H as in Harold. USCH, M as in Mary, A, N as in Nancy, N as in Nancy. So ravenbushman@gmail.com. I will send you those verses if you want them. If you're like, I still don't believe it. I don't get it. It's not enough. I think I've given you enough. But if you want more, I will send you a list of a lot more. If you're just really struggling with this, all right? All right, so let me continue here. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. So if they turn to him in faith, he will graft them back in. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more will these who are the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? You see, we can walk away. And yes, the Jews can come to know Christ. Do not get the idea in your head that you're going to just coast right into heaven. You're just going to go along there on your rollerblades, doing whatever you want to, all the way to the end. And you're going to give it one last push, whoosh. You're going to slide right into those pearly gates, as they say, right? It's not how it works. That's not how it works. So if you've decided, or if you are out there with, you know, your little saved by grace patch on the back of your jacket, you know, and your cross hanging down the front, and you're sneaking into the pornography a couple times a week, and, you know, looking at, you know, your neighbors kind of with a side eye, and, you know, whatever. I have no idea. I don't know you. Don't know you. But if it's getting worse and worse, you know, you're continually moving further and further into sin, what eventually will happen is you get so steeped in it that you are walking in sin instead of walking in the Spirit. And eventually, you're just not going to care anymore. The love of God is going to grow cold in you, and you're just going to say, you know, I just really don't even believe. That's what's going to happen. And you may get to the point where you're like, nothing's working. I just got to try harder. I just got to try harder. You know, I don't know why. I just can't seem to walk away from sin, but I'm just going to do this. I'm going to buckle up and I'm going to do it. See, that's you. That's you in Galatians there, right? Just trying harder. Trying harder instead of turning to God and saying, Lord, help me. Lord, I repent. Help me. Please do it through me. Stop trying to do it on your own. Ask God to do it in you. I can testify to this, okay? If you think I'm telling you this out of you, you know, you should do this. You need to be better. You need to go to God. No. If you think every single person out there, every single Christian hasn't been through this kind of stuff, you're wrong. Every Christian goes through this. Everyone. And anyone that says they don't or they haven't, I'm telling you, I don't believe they can be saved. We all go through James 1, 2 through 4. We all go through Hebrews 12. Every single one of us. To say we don't, say we don't suffer persecution, we don't suffer tribulations, we don't go through trials. Either you're on the side of Satan who's just letting you cruise along, say, everything's beautiful and perfect, and I don't need any help from God. Either that, or you've just got yourself hoodwinked. I mean, I don't know. But you better hope you're going through trials. You better hope you're being chastised. That's a sign of a believer, according to Hebrews 12. That is a sign of a believer. You need that. God says you need that. Revelation 2:10. Revelation 2, chapter 2, and verse 10. Here are my very old Bible turning pages. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Remember, we talked about all the things that could happen right at, you know, that could happen to you while you're going through the tribulation. And them maybe coming through your door, threatening you, your family. But Revelation 2:10 says, do not fear. It's hard, isn't it? Thinking about that stuff and thinking, oh, my family. What if this does happen during our lifetime? Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Now, I don't know what this 10 days means. I don't know if that means like, that the most you'll be imprisoned is 10 days. I don't know if, I mean, I just don't know. You know, he's talking right here to the Church of Smyrna. I don't know if there are particular people that are going to go through this type of thing. I don't know if he's speaking to all of us as believers. I just don't know. And I'm not going to say I do. I'm not going to say I do, because I don't. I know we're going to, you know, have this great tribulation, and the great tribulation is obviously more than 10 days. So, I don't know. I know that there are people who are persecuted, Christians who are persecuted, who are in jail for years. I don't know. I can't answer that. But I do know that he says, do not fear. Why? Because I know that God will get us through everything that we are going to go through. I mean, he just will. He will. That's who he is. We turn to him. I mean, we cannot do it on our own, the same as everything else. Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You know, the worst that man can do to us in the end is to take our life from us, right? I mean, really, when it comes right down to it, that's the worst. And then we go to meet him. So even though we know that it may come to that in our lifetime, the best we can do is keep our eyes fixed on God and remember that he is the one that's in control. He knows exactly what we can handle and what we can't. Father, we thank you so much for getting us through another couple verses this week. You're in control of everything. I thank you for it, Lord, for giving me every verse, every word, all the knowledge that you have, which I really have none. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and I will be back next week, God willing.